So for those of you who are inclined, you could wave. Thank you so much. Little bit the miracle of human connection, connectedness. How great it feels to feel some kind of connection between each other as I begin this talk. Thank you. And so as an introduction to this meditation, yesterday's talk on dukkha was kind of laying the groundwork for this morning, pointing you in the direction of the insight into dukkha. And saving it for the meditation is partly because, or to emphasize, that you're not necessarily supposed to be going around your daily life always having the insight into dukkha. You could, it could be helpful, but the depth of it and the full potential of it comes as we meditate, as we get stiller, quieter, more clear with our attention. And the analogy for this might be that if you're just learning to ride a bicycle for the first time, you might be tense. You might hold the handlebars tensely. You might hold your back tense, and everything is kind of like, you know, you pull everything in tight in your body to kind of try to keep the balance. But as you learn to ride the bike, you discover bit by bit that you don't have to be so tense. You can relax your belly. You can relax your rib cage. You can kind of not be pulling yourself in all the way to the center to holding tight the balance. It actually works better. It's easier to be balanced if you're relaxed. The grip on the handlebar, it begins to loosen. You realize you don't have to grip it so much. And over time, maybe the greater skills you have at riding a bike, especially if you're on a flat, biking someplace flat, or even maybe slightly downhill, just appreciate how much you can let go of attention. Something you never imagined before you started, you know, when you first rode the bike and you're just beginning. And then you realize there are times when you get tense again, and it's appropriate. Suddenly there's a lot of traffic, not only traffic, but there's potholes and wild dogs running in the streets as well. And so you're finding your way through this complicated world, and so you're kind of like certain kind of maybe even healthy tension to really stay focused and ready for anything that might happen. But because you know how to be relaxed, you really experienced it and kind of drank the ambrosia of relaxation. When the dogs are no longer on the street, there's no more traffic and no more potholes, then you're quickly able to go back and relax again. So how this relates to this topic of dukkha is very similar, is that dukkha is closely related to stress and tension. And we learn over practice, over time, to relax, to let go, to not grip so hard onto things. And we're beginning to learn that more often than not, it's not worthwhile to cling, to grasp. To do so is dukkha. And for the Buddha, nothing is worth clinging to. Because when you cling, there's dukkha, there's suffering. So everything brings suffering if we cling to everything. Nothing brings suffering if we don't cling to anything. In between, we are learning to recognize that there's dukkha in clinging to things, in expecting too much from things and wanting things to be a certain way, looking for some deep satisfaction in life from things. That anything we cling to is unsatisfying, doesn't bring satisfying results. So the insight into dukkha is closely related to how relaxed we get, how tense-free we become. So it's not just seeing dukkha, but it's seeing it from the vantage point how good it is to not cling, to not hold on, to not resist. So as we practice, slowly we'll get an understanding of this. Initially, maybe it's in just a few places in our life we realize I don't need to cling anymore to trying to have a better past. I don't have to cling to what's happening later in the day. I don't have to cling to my identity while I'm meditating, proving to the world how the Gill mentions it, that I'm a really good bicyclist. There's no need to do that. It's just dukkha, that kind of clinging. So we start seeing it in some areas of our life. And as we go deeper in practice, as we let go, as we settle in and are more tense-free, then we have a new vantage point, a new reference point for knowing for ourselves that clinging is not worthwhile. Clinging is dukkha. Grasping is dukkha. So the insight into dukkha is a kind of a universal characteristic of human experience is not meant to stand alone. It would be kind of depressing if it was. But rather, it's built on the stability, the well-being, the confidence, the relaxation that grows as we practice. And when we have those as a foundation, then we have a reference point to begin appreciating not the universality of dukkha or unsatisfactoriness, but rather how clinging to this right now is a kind of suffering. It's not like a belief you have to believe. It's an insight you begin seeing because you'd be able to see the contrast. If you're only tense, it's all you know, you might not know you're tense. You have no clue what relaxation's about. But as we get more settled, more confident, have some well-being, there's the opportunity to recognize if I cling to this, there's dukkha, there's suffering. Whatever is happening in the moment is unsatisfying as something to cling to grasp onto. something to build up an attached, clinging sense of self. So it's not a universal thing to be seen. It's specific. That's why it's called a characteristic. It's a characteristic of things. It's an attribute. Oh, and the attribute of this is that it'll hurt if I cling. I'll lose my relaxation. I'll lose my openness. I'll lose my ease. I can see that. When we do lose our ease, and say, oh, I just lost my ease. And we understand the contrast and what was lost. So that's the background, that's the insight into dukkha. So for this meditation now, maybe with your eyes closed, as you are, what right now can you recognize that's happening to you that is not worthwhile clinging to? What do you recognize in this moment that you can let go of? The clinging, the grasping, the holding, the judgments, is it expectations, disappointments? Is it simply tension in the shoulders? Is it wanting things to be different than they are? Is it wanting this to be forever? And then taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. Three quarters full, deep breath. Stretching the torso, lifting the torso, expanding. And as you exhale, relaxing, settling in. Deep breath in, and then in the exhale, relaxing the thinking mind. And then letting your breathing return to normal. And once again, on the exhale, roam around your body. What in your body can you soften, relax? On the exhale, can you relax your back rib cage? Can you relax the tops of your thighs? Can you soften your hands? Perhaps relaxing around the heart. And then feeling whatever tension or pressure, agitation or energy connected to thinking. No matter how subtle it might be. As you exhale, can you gently calm that thinking muscle? quiet your thinking mind. And now, this vantage point, do you have a different understanding of what is not worth clinging to, picking up tension to just maybe some of your thoughts that you have concerns for these moments of meditating? Maybe there's a subtle dukkha, tension, over interest that you can see, you know, this is not quite worthwhile for these moments. I don't need to sacrifice my subtleness for this. And to do so is a dukkha. Perhaps even in how you're mindful, if there's any tension in that, that's dukkha. Maybe there's expectations, desires clinging to the practice itself. And the other side of clinging is peace, is ease, is settledness. And as we continue now, follow the path, follow the opening that happens when you let go of dukkha, of clinging. When you go towards more ease and softness, openness. And as you do so, maybe the contrast between ease and tension, ease and unease, can show you ways that for now it's not worth clinging. It's to your best interest to not cling. To follow the scent of non-clinging. One breath at a time. Just here. Perhaps you can notice the unsatisfactoriness of clinging, holding on, being preoccupied. In seeing it as unsatisfactory, can you see beyond it, to the side of it or underneath it? Opening to non-clinging, non-preoccupation. That allows you to stay here in the present moment. Quietly, peacefully, just breathing. Just here. In the simplicity of the moment.
If we are floating in the current of change, the river of change, clinging in all its forms, it's like hanging an anchor off the edge of the boat into the water, causing drag, slowing us down. And sometimes it's like dropping the anchor to the bottom of the river and no longer floating. It's enough to see that clinging is unsatisfactory. You don't have to let go. But seeing it as unsatisfactory might open a crack where you can see into it the direction of non-clinging. So the insight into dukkha is to see clearly in particular situations that clinging here is unsatisfying, is not worthwhile, that clinging is dukkha. And clinging is a shorthand for any compulsivity that the mind is caught in. Any retroactive thinking we're caught up in. Any insistence that things should be different. Any insistence that things shouldn't change. At some point, as practice deepens or gets fuller, the maturity of this insight takes a form of understanding that, or appreciating that nothing whatsoever is worth clinging to, being compulsive about. And this is a kind of omniscience, Buddhist omniscience. If you want to know something about everything, you would know that there's nothing in this world of everything that's worth clinging to. And as I said before, the reference point for this kind of understanding is a background or a foundation of some degree of well-being, of ease, of peace, that can highlight, oh, I'm losing that peace, or I'm challenging that peace now with this clinging. And there is an alternative to not clinging, and that's staying close to this peace, to this ease. And sometimes all we do is to see the clinging and its unsatisfactoriness. That's enough, just to see it. To see the clinging, the dukkha, and to try too hard to get rid of it. It's just more clinging. We don't free ourselves from clinging by clinging more. Clinging is freed by non-clinging. And that's one of the precious qualities of sati, of mindful awareness, is that the way sati itself is a kind of non-clinging in the simplicity of just seeing and knowing, the non-clinging knowing of clinging, the non-clinging knowing of dukkha. So sometimes this insight into dukkha, the unsatisfactoriness of clinging, is just seen in a few little places in life where it's obvious. On retreat, it might be, especially a retreat at home, it might be as simple as not opening the news during the retreat, because you can know that if I read the news, I think I'm going to cling to something. I think that I'll have dukkha. what I have right now, how I am right now, is actually better. Now, news is dukkha. And so I won't do it. I'll follow the scent of freedom, of ease. Stay close to it. And sometimes it's that simple. And sometimes when we're quite settled in practice, we can get the strong message, revelation, that nothing here, there's nothing in this world that I can experience right now that's worth clinging to, that I want to cling to, that I need to be compulsive about. Partly because I'm sitting in the seat of awakening, of freedom, of ease. And from this seat of ease, nothing is worth sacrificing that ease. Even though the publicists, the advertisers will come along, and then the lawyers and the judges will come along with all kinds of arguments and allures for, tries to tell you there's exceptions to this. There are exceptions. They'll tell you that, you know, this is worth clinging to, or this you have to cling to. Of course, how could it not be? But there is a seat to sit in. Seat of awakening, seat of peace, seat of ease, where you won't be fooled. You won't sacrifice your ease for anything. Because for a little while you'll be omniscient. You'll know nothing whatsoever is worth clinging to. And it won't just be something you know. It'll be something your heart trusts, your belly trusts, the core of your being will trust. This is home. This is the seat of freedom. So as you go through the day today, you might see if there's a useful, supportive way that you can work with the contrast between whatever degree of ease you have and the loss of that ease because of clinging or compulsivity. And maybe gently keeping this kind of close by will help you stay close to that place of ease, of peace. And to do so, perhaps for this day, you could go about your day at the speed of ease. Live your day at the speed of ease. And if you need to go faster than that, question why you're sacrificing your ease. Just maybe you'll discover some clinging. So I hope you enjoy your day. And today, Ying will be sitting on the practice discussions with me. Thank you all.